Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri, a Florida Hockey Now podcast. I am your host, Jacob Langsam. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, TJ Peterson. And folks, I think we may have flown a little too close to the sun. On our last podcast, I made a mention of perhaps running out of interesting things to talk about because of how consistently the team was just winning in dominating fashion. So everything was sounding the same. And I think maybe the Panthers took my note because they've been doing a lot of not winning since then. I just want to take a look at the month of March as a whole here. The Panthers are 6-5-1 for 13 points.
Jake, if we're talking about the month of March, the Pitt Panthers did not qualify for March Madness. So actually they're 0-0-0.
That's a great point. The Panthers did not make the college basketball tournament. They didn't even get an invite to the NIT. So like,
this is crazy. The disrespect by the committee is unbelievable.
What is this? Florida State?
Got him.
But what's worrying to me about the Panthers this month isn't necessarily their record. It's the play behind it, because it's not like, you know, they should be winning and they're just giving up some bad goals at the end of games. I mean, that is what happened yesterday against Boston. But if you look at the month of March, these 12 games in the month, the Panthers are below 50% Corsi, below 50% Fenwick, above 50% goals for, which is interesting, but below 50% expected goals. So they're finally overperforming their expected goals, but it's because their XG is not good. And it's
plays the Carolina play once moment.
Yeah, right. Except it's over the course of 12 games. Are TJ, are you concerned?
Concerned is maybe not the right word I would use. But it's something I would put some stock into, that they're suddenly not performing now. I would, you know, there's a big caveat here, which is that Aaron Ekblad has not played in pretty much any of these games. He got injured against, oh geez, who was it? This was like 3 weeks ago.
It was at trade deadline, basically. He hasn't played a game since the deadline, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it was the game after the deadline that he got injured. I think that he got all of one glorious game with Vladimir Tarasenko and zero with Kyle Okposo. Which, by the way, Kyle Okposo should be playing. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, he should.
He is not in double digits in terms of the Panthers' best forwards. He just isn't.
TJ saying that he is a top 10 forward on this team, for anyone who is confused by the wording of that statement.
He's top 9 forward on this team. Like, let me do an impromptu. These are the players that are better. Obviously, Barkov, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, Bennett. I said obviously Bennett. I don't know if it's obvious, but I would definitely take Bennett.
I would say so.
I would take Bennett.
I personally would put Tarasenko up there.
Tarasenko. I mean, this season, though, I don't know if you can say that.
Yeah, I don't know. I would probably put Okposo around the level of Etu Lastarinen.
Yes. Evan Rodriguez also.
Yeah, Erod, Etu, above like the Stenlund, basically above the fourth line.
Yes. I don't really know how you can look at what the players involved have done this season. I'm going to include Lusterainen, Lundell, and Rodriguez as if they are still together as the third line, even though that is not the case.
Yeah.
Like, show me the metric that is conclusive that one of those players is better than Kyle Okposo. I think that Kyle Okposo has more goals than all of them. Maybe he has fewer goals than E2, but he might have more points. I mean, this is something I should be able to look up, actually, so I don't know why I'm spouting off. But I mean, like, defensive metrics, if you want to make this argument that, like, oh, you know, Lundell's not performing offensively, but defensive metrics, like, I would imagine that the defensive metrics are better for Okposo. And you know, I've already mentioned on the show that I'm a Kyle Okposo fan, so take everything I'm saying about this
And an
with a
Anton
grain of
Lundell hater. You
hater
are
is
both.
hater is not the
I
right word, because if he succeeds, I'm happy.
mean, non-believer, I guess.
Skeptic is the word I would use.
There we go. That's more succinct than
I'm not sure
non-believer.
Anton Lundell exists.
And you could call me an Anton Lundell truther in that regard, because I'm 100% certain that he does exist.
So I think because Lundell is a center, that he's going to be, and this is for me as well, like that he will be in the, he would be in the lineup for above Okposo, because centers are just more important. But that's it. That's the seven, I would say. So it's the top two lines and then Anton Lundell. And I think that you could definitely make an argument that Rodriguez is more valuable.
I think you
Frankly,
could make an argument that Etu is also, but like
yeah,
the three of them are around the same level is the point.
you could, but you could make an argument. I'm not trying to say like it's indisputable Okposo is better, but like I don't really know how you get to believe that like it is indisputable that Eetu Luostarinen is better today than Kyle Okposo, even today when Okposo is 35. The way that he's performed this year just does not imply that he should be a healthy scratch. So why did they trade for him? Like, this doesn't really make any sense to me.
Yeah. Okposo, for the record, just to back you up, 8 goals at 5-on-5 would tie him for sixth with Etu. Above Stenlund, Rodriguez, Lundell, Cousins, Lomberg, Gadjevich. I guess seventh if you, yeah, seventh because you have to count Tarasenko, who
Yeah, I
has,
would count him.
the way I'm looking at this, only is only showing Tarasenko's goals with the Panthers. So, yeah, Okposo would be tied for seventh behind Verhaeghe, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Barkov, Bennett, and Tarasenko.
Yeah, and like he played in the Flyers game, didn't he? Okposo?
I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah, like this stuff does leave my mind pretty quickly, but I just.
Yeah, who the healthy scratches were is not something I tend to keep track of. Other than the fact that Jonah Gadjevich hasn't been playing, put my boy back in.
Yeah, put my boy Kyle Okposo back in. I agree.
Give us a fourth line of Stenlund, Gadjevich, Okposo.
Okay,
Let's
I'm
see
with it.
everyone shit their pants.
I'm with it. He did not play against the Flyers. He played against the Rangers. He played 9 minutes and 57 seconds. He had a penalty, 2 penalty minutes, and 2 shots on goal. It's not so bad.
Sure.
I mean, look, he has
Or
played 3 games here, minus two or minus one, 2 penalty minutes, 5 shots on goal. I get it. Like you haven't seen him contribute meaningfully yet, but that you could say that about most 3 game sample sizes that you have
Right.
of the guys in the bottom six. I mean, good Lord, most of them went a month without a goal in the month
Speaking
of
of, and
what was it,
speaking of
February?
3 game sample sizes, Sasha Barkov also missed 3 games. So I mean, just in the same breath of saying that Ekblad has been out this whole time, Barkov has missed a few games, Forsling has missed a game. So like the Panthers,
Didn't he miss
this
both
is
games this weekend? Like he missed the Rangers and the Flyers game, I think. Either
maybe.
way.
Point being that like we have not seen a fully healthy Florida Panthers since, I suppose, the game following immediately following the trade deadline. So while pointing out these stats for the month of March, I do want to make sure that we kind of take a step back, take a deep breath. I also want to make sure that we note. So Boston is currently losing to Tampa as we
Yep.
speak.
Not quite over yet, but
Despite all of this that we are talking about, the 6-5-1 record, which is not a good record, the poor metrics and everything, if tonight's result holds, the Panthers will be 2 points back of Boston with 2 games in hand, more wins, fewer losses, and a way better goal differential. Like, despite everything, It is still safe to say that the Panthers are the best team in the division. They're hiccuping now, which is not ideal as we approach 10 games remaining in the season and get closer and closer to the playoffs. You really hope they work out these kinks before mid-April rolls around. Worth noting, by the way, Uvis Balinskas was sent back to Charlotte today. So yeah, that kind of signals that Ekblad is getting close.
Yeah.
To making his return to the lineup. So I'm not ready to panic just yet. It's certainly been annoying to watch a team that we've been so comfortable just going into any game that they have a great chance to win, all of a sudden just drop a bunch of games after allegedly making additions that were supposed to improve the team. And for the record, I still think they did.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen the team at full strength since then.
Also, they're not playing one of the additions that improved the team. Like, you know, again, Okposo is objectively one of your best 12 forwards. Like, we don't even need to go into, like, he is probably one of your best 9 forwards. I would say that it is pretty much indisputable. I'd still
put him on the fourth line, though.
I mean, if they keep not doing well without him on the top 9, then maybe he should be on the top 9. But we'll see. I mean, if somebody gets injured, he's a perfect guy to fit in there. So
yeah,
that would be good to have. Yeah, I think that we're very far away from anything resembling panic. I mean, look, right? Like if they lose the next 5 in a row, I'm going to have a less severe reaction than if they lose game 1 of round 1. Period.
That's fair.
Yeah. Like that is still what you're prepping here for. And I mean, even staying that, you know who didn't win game 1, round 1 last year?
The Panthers.
I was more so going for the Vegas Golden Knights, but that is also that's true. Fair. That is also true. And I mean, man, I watched that game and they looked like shit. The Knights looked like they were going to get swept. I walked away from that thinking like this is another lost year for them. And I was sad about it because I had a much more of a soft spot in my heart for the Golden Knights than I do now. I mean, I still wouldn't say that I'm a Golden Knights hater. I hate what they did in June of last year, but you know,
yeah,
not a full on Golden Knights hater. And we've actually talked about this a little bit. You agree that like you don't hate them just for beating the Panthers.
Yeah, they were the better team. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, they were healthy. They didn't.
I don't feel like they stole the cup from the Panthers. They ended a Cinderella run.
Yes. That was unfortunate. But I mean, what are they supposed to just let us win? That would be a hollow victory, you know?
Yes, damn it. flip side being that what is a Panthers Stanley Cup win without going through the Lightning first?
Yeah, and that's the somewhat bright side, I suppose you could say, is that if the Rangers end up winning the President's Trophy, or at the very least just the Eastern Conference, that they end up having more points than the Panthers, then we could be setting up for a Panthers Lightning round 1. And because the Lightning are going to be without Mikhail Sergachev, and many of their best players from their cup winning runs have significantly regressed, Victor Hedman, just not the same player.
Like the singular exception of Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point. So I guess the
Dubular
exception.
And I mean, now they have our guy, the former. Oh yeah, they have our guy Anthony Duclair.
Wait, and they also have. Is that not the our guy that you were talking about?
That's emphatically our guy. I was somewhat saying our guy, like casually, in referring to Brandon Hagel as our guy. You have love in your heart for Brandon Hagel.
Oh, you meant on a personal level.
Yes. He's good. I like him. Yeah. I mean, I won't like him if the Panthers are playing him in the playoffs, but
of course.
Anyway, I'm keeping my eye on that. There's less than a minute to go and the Bruins are still losing, so they're on course for an overtime loss.
Also, for the record, like Toronto is still 8 points behind the Panthers, despite this March performance.
Yeah, because they're not good.
Right. Like it's even despite how poorly the Panthers have played in the month of March, they've put themselves in a position where no matter what, almost no matter what, they're going to finish top 2 in the division. There are 10 games left. There are 20 points left on the table. If the Panthers get 12 of those 20 points, which is not a huge number, then Toronto can't pass them.
Yeah, that's 500.
It's just above 500, but yeah.
It's basically 500.
Right. I should say 12 of 20 points, I believe, is a worse points percentage than what they currently have for the month of March. Let me put it that way.
Yowza.
I think. I might be wrong.
Yeah,
about
I'm
that.
Pretty sure you're right, actually.
I'm slightly wrong. 12 of 20 would be a 600. And the month of March, the Panthers have a 542.
Okay. Yeah. So, but look, the Leafs are not going to go 1,000.
And for the record, they also have 11 games left. So Toronto has 22 points on the table, not 20.
So Panthers need 14 points to clinch home ice.
Which is, 14 of 20 is...
There's going to need to be some points dropped by the Leafs, I would think. But Guess what? They're going to.
Right. They're not going to win out is my point. 14 of 20 to ensure that even if Toronto wins all of their remaining 11 games, that you still beat them in the standings is not that huge of an ask.
No, not at all. And
is my point.
And again, like last year showed, what does playoff home ice and seeding really matter? I mean, you'd rather have it than not have it, but look, it's not going to be the end all be all. It's not even close to being the end all be all in the end.
Right.
You know, I'd rather be up 1-0 in game one of round one. It's not even that I would rather win it. I'd rather be up 1-0.
Yeah. There's still not a single team that scares me in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, in the sense that like they're the super team that the Panthers can't possibly beat.
Yeah.
I would say that they're like talking about like teams that I view as like legitimate threats. I think it's Carolina in the East. Yep. And I'm not really sure.
To me, Colorado.
There's another one in the East. Like, I really don't know.
Oh, there isn't. No, I genuinely don't believe there is. Carolina is the only team that even remotely gives me pause of like, yeah, they could lose that series. There's no one else that really makes me feel that way. Actually, I should say Washington does, which feels ridiculous to say.
It certainly does, Jake.
Just because of like, you know, the hungry 8 seed who snuck into the playoffs, like
nothing to lose.
That team can be frightening.
Yeah, it's a good thing that the Flyers are not going to be in that. The
Flyers are making it in division.
Actually, you know what? Based on points percentage right now, that's going to be the 8 seed.
Serious? The Capitals. Oh my god.
Yeah.
What is going on in Washington all of a sudden? They have a minus 26 goal differential. How are they?
by the way, I think the game is now over, but even if it's not, the Lightning added an empty netter, so they're definitely going to win in regulation. So the Bruins are going to lose in regulation, which is very uncharacteristic.
Behind them with two games in hand.
Yes.
More wins, fewer losses, better goal differential.
And like, because you have every tiebreaker, you just got to win one.
Right. So, no, I'm not scared of the Bruins.
And if you don't think that they're capable...
I'm not going to let the loss last night get to me.
And if you don't think they're capable of winning either against the Islanders or the Red Wings, I'll tell you what, a parlay of those two teams in regulation, that's going to pay off very well. So, by your own logic, you have some wonderful financial advice ahead of yourself. To bet on those teams on a parlay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that we pretty much, you know, sum up the general attitude that we should have. Like, yeah, clean it up, but like,
right.
Ultimately doesn't matter if we still see the team that we had seen previous to this month when it comes to round one, game one, and even really round one, game four or five, just show up in time to win the series, survive in advance. And as long as we see that team at some point in the playoffs and they continue it up until the ultimate goal, like there's really no reason to think of this as the thing that's going to stop them from the ultimate goal.
Team save percentage at 5-on-5 is still top 10 in the league in the month of March. So it's not like this is on Bob.
No.
if Ekblad comes back and looks like Ekblad, and we have the Panthers at full power, and they keep losing games that they should win, then I'll start to worry.
And I think it's fair to feel that way, but I will personally still... I don't know if there's something that you could tell me that would get me to dispose of the thing in the back of my mind that's telling me they're playing out the string in the regular season. Just wait for the playoffs and they'll show you what they really are.
Totally. Especially because, I mean, historically, fewer whistles in the playoffs, which plays more into the Panthers' style.
Yeah. There will be more whistles because they're just going to do more egregious stuff. I like the spirit of what you're saying is true, but it is not literally true because there are more penalties. There are more whistles in the playoffs because teams are trying more shit, you know, playing dirtier, et cetera, et cetera. What you're saying is true though. Like it's a different, it's a different beast.
It plays more to the Panthers style.
Right. Which is why they succeeded last year.
Right. Despite squeaking in as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
That's why they did so well.
Yeah, and I mean, there are several moments where it could have gone wrong in the first round, but once they got past that, they were pretty much inevitable.
Right.
Five games.
Am I annoyed by the month of March? Absolutely. Because I prefer to watch my hockey team win games than lose them.
Yes.
Just at the most basic level of sports are an entertainment product. Yep. I like seeing my favorite team win games because it's more entertaining.
Exactly.
From an actual 30,000 foot macro view, it's annoying, but that's really all it is. It's annoying.
That's the right word. That's a great word in this case.
Yeah. I'm still taking the Panthers over anyone that they might play in round one.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm probably taking them over anyone they might play in round two.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that we can't talk about them having clinched a playoff spot. And that there is a team in the league that it does so sooner. The Rangers did it.
Panther Paris, I will make the Panther Paris promise right now. Our episode next week, we will be able to celebrate the Panthers clinching a playoff spot.
All right, I'm holding you accountable for when this doesn't happen, Jake.
I mean, how far away are
there's
they?
There's no way it's not going
to
happen.
They would have to lose and every team below them would have to win. Actually, I don't think it's possible. If the Panthers beat Detroit on Saturday, that's it. I think that's all it takes.
I believe that's
right. If the Panthers beat Detroit in regulation on Saturday afternoon, they clinch a playoff spot. Even if they lose to the Islanders tomorrow, if they beat Detroit on Saturday, they clinch a spot on their own. Because Detroit is the team in ninth.
And like I already said, if you think that there's no way that they're going to be able to win one of those games, well, you should use that as financial advice because you'll be able to reap the rewards.
Yeah. So I will promise right now that our episode next week will be a clinching episode or a clinched episode. If not, then I feel like there will be reason to start panicking a little bit. But
that is actually fair. Thank you.
Detroit has 10 games left, 20 points. So yeah, Detroit caps at 99. The Panthers have 97. That's it. The Panthers clinching number is 2 points. The only reason that Boston hasn't clinched yet must be because Detroit has a tiebreaker on
them. That's the case, that they just need to win. That doesn't need to be in regulation.
True.
So there you go. Just win, baby. Fuck the math. We just did it. Don't fuck the math.
Wait, this is actually really funny. The reason Boston hasn't clinched is the first tiebreaker regulation wins or regulation overtime wins?
Regulation wins.
Yeah, the reason that Boston hasn't clinched yet is because theoretically Detroit could still catch them on regulation wins.
That's awesome.
Detroit cannot catch the Panthers on regulation wins. It is impossible. Detroit has 25 regulation wins. Boston has 33. Florida has 38. The Panthers need one more regulation win. Or not even. Yeah, just one more win. The Panthers need to win one more game all season to clinch a playoff spot.
I don't know, Jake. That seems like a tall task to win one game.
Fine, then let me put it this way. Detroit has to lose one more game in regulation for the Panthers to clinch a playoff spot.
Jake, the Detroit Red Wings are such a wagon that they could go the rest of the season without losing in regulation.
Obviously.
Yeah, actually, anything else on the Panthers you want to talk about? Because I wanted to transition into Puri.
I don't think so. I don't think they're really. Oh, yes, I lied. Yes. Tobias Bjornfot, one game.
Looks solid.
Yeah, there's a player there.
Let's see a little bit more of it. I mean, what do they really have to lose?
Yeah.
Let's get Spencer Knight up here. He's playing well in the AHL right now. I want to bet him in.
Consecutive shutouts for Spencer Knight as we're recording.
I want to bet him back into the NHL. He's not going to be playing in the playoffs this year. Like
Probably not.
he should be playing in the AHL playoffs if those are over and Bob gets hurt. In that case, yeah, throw him in. I would definitely not be upset by that. But otherwise, like, there's really no way that he should be in the NHL in the
Yeah.
playoffs, but I'd like to see him in the NHL in the regular season because, like I said, it's not as meaningful and he'll get more exposure to that NHL level of play. And that's just going to be important. With the money that he's making, you just got to give it a shot. You have to. I really don't understand not doing it, especially with the level of comfort that the Panthers have in that they will make the playoffs. So that is my plea for the Panthers to give Spencer Knight a few games here at the end of the regular season. I would say ideally three. And again, I will have to finish the article, but I would like to see them rest Bob for half the season, I would say. They're half the rest of the season. All right, so you want to do Paré?
Yeah, go for it.
So I was talking about teams that have gone a very long time without losing in regulation or, a long streak without losing in regulation. So guess who we're going to talk about?
Nashville.
That is right. Like, this is
Easiest
crazy.
call ever. By the way, Boston has officially lost in regulation to Tampa. So the
Nice.
Panthers are now one win behind them with two games in hand. The Panthers, with that loss, the Panthers are back in first in the Atlantic on points percentage.
Which is really what matters, and
I
I'm not saying that
mean,
the
no, at the
best.
end of the day, you still have to win the game in hand or the games in hand. But yeah,
If the
points
points
percentage
percentage implies that you
Panthers have.
will,
Yeah, true.
so that's why it matters. Anyway, so the Predators are on a streak. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they've won 16 of their last 18, and the two that they lost were in overtime or a
We're
shootout.
overtime. I believe that is correct.
Yeah, I can maybe do the math looking at their full schedule, but
They're 8-0-2 in their last 10 on a 6-game winning streak.
yeah, the last game that they lost in regulation, and it was a hell of a loss. They lost 9-2 to the Stars. And you know what?
You 9-2 see it.
This was shortly before the infamous trip to Vegas where they were going to go see U2 at the Sphere and it got canceled. And since then, they haven't lost a single game in regulation
Yeah.
in more than a month, in almost a month and a half. What a job Andrew Brunette is doing.
Yeah.
If they're
18 games is 22% of the season, for the record. They have gone 22% of the season in succession without
here, go
losing in
ahead.
regulation.
Here are some teams that they've beaten in this stretch. Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota, Winnipeg, the Panthers,
Shut
Vegas
out.
again. Yeah. So I guess that the games that I didn't mention, I mean, there are some cupcakes in there. Like, they played the Sharks, they played the Sabres, they played the Senators, the Ducks.
And the fucking absolutely bonkers part of it is they're still fourth place in the Central.
Yeah, that's a good division.
Sitting like reasonably comfortably in wild card one.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the thing is that that
4 points
division
behind Winnipeg.
that division is tight to the point that you don't necessarily want to get up to third and play the Avalanche instead of the Stars.
That's true. Right now, Nashville is playing Vancouver round one.
And I would rather do that. Like,
I'd probably put $10 down on Nashville for that.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking to myself that the odds will probably
Entertainment
be such.
purposes only, as Alex would say.
The odds will probably be such that I would like to bet against the Predators in the first round, but if they're playing the Canucks, like I would
Yeah.
certainly think twice about that. I mean, I do think the Canucks are good, but like I think the Canucks are good for the same reasons that like you would then have to apply to the Predators being good, because they've had this sustained level of success this regular season. It's not that I think their roster is on the level of a Dallas or a Colorado, that's for sure. Or Edmonton even, which the Predators have the same number of points as the Oilers. The Oilers have two games in hand, but still. And we've kind of, did we talk about this at all on air? I mean, you mentioned them being like the eighth seed with nothing to lose, but like, my goodness, it really seems like the Capitals are going to do this. It really seems they're going to make the playoffs.
They totally are.
With a minus 26 goal differential.
Yeah. They have a game in hand over Detroit, who is the next team out. And then below that is New Jersey with 76 points to Washington's 81. And Washington has two games in hand on New Jersey. And the next team out is the Islanders at 75. Like, the only team that's really threatening the Capitals' playoff position is Detroit.
Yeah. And I mean, Detroit
could just catch the Flyers. I'm a little bummed that Buffalo probably won't pull it off.
Yeah, no shit.
But like, I don't know, maybe.
They got curb stomped by the Sens.
They're not eliminated yet.
No. The Red Wings schedule, ooh, this is not good for them. Their next four games, Hurricanes, Panthers, Lightning, Rangers. Oof. After that, they play the Sabres and the Capitals. So, you know, there's definitely some room to gain some ground there, especially if you beat the Capitals.
Yeah.
But yeah, that could be a defining stretch of the season for the Red Wings if they can't get it back together and pull off a couple of wins in that stretch. They could be donezo. Meanwhile, the Capitals play, they do play the Leafs and the Bruins in the next two, but after that, Sabres, Penguins. Okay, I mean, there's some tricky games in there. They play the Bruins twice more. But I mean, man, they're in the driver's seat, that's for sure.
I'm fine with them beating the Bruins just because it would still be funny.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say I prefer the Red Wings to make the
playoffs. It would be hilarious. Hot take. Boston's going to lose out. Detroit's going to win out.
And the Leafs are still going to finish second ahead of the Capitals.
Correct. Boston's going to miss the playoffs with 99 points.
Oh yeah, like that's definitely possible, and it's going to happen. Anyway, that's the only NHL Paris I think I wanted to get to. We know the West playoff situation. The seeding race doesn't really interest me. I'm sure that it's very meaningful for those teams, but you know, whatever. Sorry.
This isn't Western Conference Paris, damn it.
Anything that you're interested in?
Honestly, at this point, I'm ignoring the Western Conference entirely. Like, I no longer, you're right. I no longer care what happens over there. I'm
especially
at the point
since,
of this season where I'm just hard focused on where will the Panthers finish.
Especially since there's no like playoff race in the sense that like we know the eight.
Yeah, right.
Blues
St. Louis
aren't catching
is the first team out. They're 6 points back of Vegas. Like,
yeah, they're not catching them. You know,
they
like,
could, but let's be real. Vegas just beat St. Louis last night, I think.
Yeah, or that, or a couple of nights ago. I can't remember which, but like
it was this week though.
It's going to have to be.
If St. Louis had beaten Vegas, there would be a conversation about the second wildcard spot. But as it stands, I'm not super hopeful.
Yeah, like it's going to have to be a situation where everything goes right for the Blues, everything goes wrong for Vegas. And this time next week, I'm talking about there's a possibility. Right now, I'm not really considering it. So beyond that, I wanted to talk about March Madness, but I can't really think of anything all that interesting to say. Kentucky lost in the first round to a guy that looks like he already works as an accountant who made 10 3-pointers on 20 attempts for a team named Oakland that is in Michigan. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this guy, DJ Burns for NC State. He's built like a football linebacker, but he's got this awesome touch in the paint.
Has someone considered throwing water on him?
Yeah, I really think they should. Or at least give him some headphones and a turntable.
Either that, or yeah, maybe it's just a great pyrotechnic setup.
Yeah. For his DJ set.
In the club, yeah. I don't think that I feel like I didn't say the word club early enough in that joke for it to be funny.
And I don't think you weren't around for this, but the Red Bulls beat Inter Miami without Messi. So that is the caveat. 4-0 on Saturday. So I'm going to bask in that. Sorry, Inter Miami
Whatever.
Fans. If you wanted to turn my
it's
the regular
me,
season.
Long time hardcore Inter Miami fan.
This is to the listeners. I know you don't care that much.
And obvious Leo Messi enjoyer. I have never, ever said a bad word about him. And I have certainly never taken the side of Ronaldo in the Ronaldo versus Messi wars.
And you've certainly never said anything bad about Luis Suarez.
Right. Why would I ever?
No, he's lived exemplary life.
The mid-aughts, the mid-2010s Barcelona teams. I definitely didn't actively root against them ever. I definitely not.
No, Jake, why would you? Why would anybody?
Of course.
They were America's team. It didn't matter that they played in Spain.
Right. I definitely didn't vehemently prefer the Ronaldo Benzema Bale trio.
The old BBC.
Yeah, exactly.
The British Broadcasting Channel.
Well, what else would that stand for?
Benzema, Bale, Cristiano.
Cristiano, yeah.
And British Broadcasting Channel.
I definitely didn't have an extreme preference for that Real team over the Messi and Suarez.
I don't think I clocked that.
That is now on Inter Miami.
I didn't have a preference in that particular scenario.
I did.
I think I preferred Barca, but like I wouldn't really care either way. Like I remember a game where Ronaldo scored the winner in the Clásico, and I was like, "Damn, that was sick!"
Yeah, like we probably watched that together. Oh no, I don't think we watched that together. We always watch the Champions League finals together, though.
Some good Champions League finals.
No,
over the years.
I had a very strong preference for Ronaldo and Real back in those days.
Yeah, but you know, that's not the playoffs, and anybody can turn that on my head and say, why are you talking about a regular season game? Regular season doesn't matter, TJ. You know what? Touche. Jake, anything else before we get out of here?
Fucking probably. I don't know. No, actually, I don't think so. I don't think I have anything nerdy to promote. What did someone yell at us about talking or for talking about
Avatar?
The other day? Yeah, I think so. But I'm not going to talk about that without Alex here. I still haven't watched the live action one.
I certainly haven't either. If anybody wants to help me try to convince Jake to watch Ted Lasso, this is
you
my...
don't have to convince me. It's not a matter of desire. I want to watch it. It's a matter of having Apple TV.
Oh, well, I have it. So if you want to use mine.
Perfect.
We'll set that up in the meantime. Rate us 5 stars on Apple TV. Our podcast is totally there. We're definitely present, just right next to Messi's face, Panther Puri. Rate us 5 stars on Apple TV.
That's where we belong, up in the conversation with the goats.
That's right. Messi, Lewis Morgan, Panther Puri. And with that, good night, everybody, and go Panthers.